Osiris.
Hey, this is Chris Pandolfi from the infamous String Dusters, and this podcast is part of the Osiris podcast family. Osiris is a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans with conversation, commentary, and music. Osiris works in partnership with Relics. Check them out for all kinds of new music, news, and information. Osiris.
Hi, friends. This is the Helping Friendly Podcast. We're doing the quick hit from last night's show, which was August 8th, 2018, at the BB&T Pavilion in Camden, otherwise known as Camden. And I'm here with Chris Weaver. What's up, man? How are you?
Good. How you doing, Brad?
Good. Thanks for joining us and taking the time. I know you did both nights, so you feeling fresh this morning or what?
I don't know about fresh, but I'm here.
Good.
Did both nights, and first of all, thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, it was a good time. It was, you know, it was interesting to go back to Camden after going to the Man for a few years there.
Yeah.
But I thought last night was a really good show, a lot of fun. And there just seemed to be a better buzz in the air, if you will, compared to Tuesday night. Like, we showed up and you could just kind of sense it in the parking lots that it felt like people had settled in and kind of had the lay of the land and felt like a little bit better energy, you know. It was, and then that carried over into the show.
So tell me, what do you prefer, the Man or Camden?
Well, I mean, I prefer the Man in short, because it's just a better setup, a smaller venue, and the lot situation is cooler. But I live a lot closer to Camden, so you know, it's such a close ride. And I mean, I like the notion that more people can get into the show to catch the show. So you know, it's got some pros and cons. But you know, if I had it my way, I'd prefer the Man. But I got no problems with Camden in the end.
Yeah, you wonder how they choose what venue to go to and all that kind of stuff. You know, out in the West here, they've been to the Forum, you know, geez, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years now. And it's indoors in California. It seems kind of silly, but there's got to be some sort of, obviously, business and contracts and all that kind of crap. So,
yeah. And for what it's worth, I like the summer indoor shows. You know, I sort of prefer those in the end, arena shows. So, you know, I was like that in Chicago when you're at UIC. So I like doing that too.
Beautiful. UIC is awesome. And yeah, I agree with, you know, the San Francisco shows at Bill Graham were just incredible too, because they're indoors. And I definitely prefer indoors compared to outdoors, which I don't think is a unique position. But
I was going to say, and one of the things, you know, talking about that going to last night was, I mean, it was sweltering hot there, and there was just no breeze to be had. And I was in the pit the first night, and I sort of had enough of that. It was so hot and so packed, and you really couldn't get back in there if you left. So I ended up just kind of going to seats. But last night we had great seats, but it was still just really hot. But, you know, thankfully they delivered a really cool show. And that's the word I kept using last night. My wife came. It was her first show in like 9 years.
Oh, cool.
And like three songs in, I was like, this just feels like a cool show. Like, they're settled in and they have a grip on what they're trying to do. And I've been listening to some of the tour along the way, and they, you know, I think they're playing really well together right now, like really rock solid. Mm-hmm. And we're cooking coming in. And I think last night, you know, they delivered a really fun, cool show. I don't know if it's going to go down in, you know, lore, but I thought it held up really well from beginning to end. Basically, there was not a lot of dragging in the show. And I thought Trey, you know, I've heard so much about his new tone and in his rig and the changes he made along the way on this tour. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple moments where I was like, I'm telling myself, I think I hear what he's trying to get to now, you know. And
yeah,
a couple things that come to mind from last night I thought the theme from the bottom was excellent. I don't know if it's going to get that much love, but it was one of the best I can remember seeing. And a lot of it was because of Trey. I mean, his solo at the end sounded just tremendous.
I remember Twitter last night was abuzz after the theme was over, saying it was a really great version. And it was only four songs in, so you're right. They caught their stride really early last night.
Yeah, they did. And I'm thinking, you know, they opened with the Moment Dance. I don't know that I've seen that as an opener, and I'm not sure they've done it too many times. And I was like, okay. And, you know, again, my wife hadn't seen him in a while, and she knows that song and loves it. So we were in the right spot at the right time, and and the band seemed to be in the same spot. And then that first set, I thought that Everything's Right to end the set was really good. I'd only seen it one other time, and that sort of, you know, I'd say that first set felt like a cool set. That's the word I kept using. And then the second set sort of started that way with the Julius, and they were sort of in that same comfortable, cool spot. And then they went into Carini, and the set just got a lot darker after that. And I mean, in the best kind of way, you know.
Right.
And I've been looking forward to Set Your Soul Free. I'd seen the one they posted, which I guess was from Tahoe, and I was really hoping to see that, and I was excited to see it and thought it was really good. I mean, I guess you saw the one at Bill Graham, right?
Right. Yeah. They opened the second set. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was it's a great song.
It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
really fun.
It's probably my favorite new song since Mercury, I'd say. I liked it quite a bit.
I like Mercury too. That's good to hear. So let's talk a little bit more about the first set. I don't want to backtrack, but there were some second set songs that were kind of in there. You know, Everything's Right kind of an opener or closer. It seems that's where it is. But there was a Steam in the first set, which is really cool. And then the Undermine, I guess, can kind of be both places. Moment Dance and Free could be both places. So they seem to be mixing it up as far as, placement of songs, openers, you know, a set to Julius opener. That's usually a closer as far as I'm concerned. And, so maybe they're comfortable. I agree that I like that Trey is kind of finding his way. Obviously he spent all, the first of this year playing with the rig and the new tones and stuff with Tab, but it seems that he's getting more comfortable as well, I guess. Did you get that from last night? I think that's what you said.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm trying to remember that there were two specific moments in the second set, and I even went back and listened to a little bit this morning, and I was trying to pinpoint him again. And I want to say it was in the wingsuit solo and then again in his waist solo. Like, it just seemed like, you know, and I don't know if you've heard the interview that he recently gave, you know, the Ask Trey interview that he did with Ari Fink, but I listened to those interviews and him talking about sort of pushing the equipment, pushing the tubes in the amp and like pushing it to get the best sound you can out of the equipment. Right. And that's what came to mind during those two solos, the wingsuit and the waist. Like, he just had it. It just felt like to me that he had achieved what he was setting out to do in words, you know, what he said he was trying to do. I was sort of hearing it sonically in those two moments, and I thought they were really good versions of the songs, especially the wingsuit. I mean, I felt like he almost brought it around for another, you know, whatever, another measure of solo in wingsuit, and I thought it was great. And then, you know, not to jump ahead too far, but then the split over the melt, like I said earlier, that second set just sort of, it went from that cool settled in to a lot darker with the Carini and even the Synth and Subtle Sound sort of had a darker feel throughout. And then
beginning too. The beginning piece that I hear people, you know,
that's right,
agree that it was pretty much nailed.
Which I haven't, you know, I don't remember. Would you know the last time they did the intro? I was trying to find out.
I think it was at the Man, wasn't it? I think it was at the Man in 15.
Yeah, I've seen one there. I couldn't remember if it had the beginning or not, you know.
That's what comes to mind.
But I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember the one they did in Camden 2003. Everybody made a big deal about Summer 03. Everybody liked that one. So that, I have a feeling that's one of the reasons, you know, they brought it back out at Camden. It's sort of a hat tip to that one that's gotten a lot of praise.
They did it at Super Bowl, and then they did it at the Man, and then last night. The last three.
Okay,
so
great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff.
So, and yeah, I've seen them, you know, obviously doing just the ending. I saw that in Chicago last summer, and probably somewhere else, maybe maybe at MSG. But yeah, it was really interesting. As soon as I started hitting the beginning of that, I was, you know, I was sort of fish playing it to my wife, like, oh, this is cool. They don't really play this intro anymore, you know?
Right.
She, to her credit, she put up with me last night. So that was,
yeah, good. She rolled her eyes, I'm sure, right? Yeah.
But she, and I'll tell you this, she had a blast. You know, that, like I said, the good. First time she'd been since the Philly run, and she thought the energy was great and the band sounded good. So as sort of an outsider, it was neat to get her perspective, you know, on the show.
Absolutely. It's fun. So the other thing that Jonathan from the Helping Friendly podcast mentioned was also the Broke Down podcast. Throw that in there. He was talking about the solid fourth quarter, you know, that the waist and the split open and the zero finished strongly, along with the high energy Susie for an encore.
Yeah, the melt, I mean, I've been trying to come up with the right words for it, but I really don't have it except to say it's like the wheels were shaking on the machine, but they never came off. And again, I mean that in the best way. It's like, it's almost like, how far can we push it and still keep it together? Because just felt like, I mean, it was sort of, it was like, you know.
Maybe driving like at night without the headlights on.
Yeah, something like that, you know, right. and it was like just kept melting farther and farther down. And I thought it was really psychedelic and dark version, and thought they were going to end the set. So I was pretty surprised when they ripped right into the zero. And I didn't even pick up on the flashlight teaser that I saw written on the set list this morning. Like, you know, to back check the first set, I did hear when they were playing Steam, I noticed the apostrophe T's right away, you know, and his tone was just right there for it. And I almost sensed it coming. But yeah, I didn't pick up on the flashlight in the character zero, but it was a rocking zero in the set.
It's probably because you're just rocking too hard, right? sweating it out, right?
That's still one of those songs that no matter how many times I hear it and the crowd, it creates as much energy in the room as any song they have, I think. So I'm one of these people that could hear it basically every show just to see how much fun and the energy it creates for the fans, you know?
Yeah. The lights, you know, it's a closer, you know, you got to finish with a bang. So I agree. It's always fun. So, what else? I mean, between the two runs, we've already reviewed last night, but there were a few moments, I mean, 2 nights ago on Tuesday, there were a few moments on Tuesday that I liked the sound. I like kind of Paige and Trey combining, you know, specifically, I'm thinking of like maybe this first set. Let me take a look. Sorry. Should know this. So, you know, the No Man's I thought had some nice points in it, some nice.
Oh yeah, really good No Man's.
Yeah, and then the 46 days was totally different. Do you think they got there more often, or was it just a totally different show last night?
It's kind of hard. I couldn't put my finger on it leaving Tuesday night's show. Like I was with the guy who'd only been to a couple shows, and he's like, "Well, what did you think?" And I said, "It's funny. Like I couldn't put my finger on the show, and I can't put my finger on why I couldn't figure it out, you know, and it's not that it was like a bad show. I mean, it had a lot of really good moments in it, but it just didn't really have like an identity. Like last night seemed to just have a feel and a distinction that I thought Tuesday just sort of lacked. And it's like, it's just one of those things. It's nobody's fault. And I don't even really know why, but I just thought, you know, Tuesday definitely had moments. I thought the No Man's was really good. And I always love seeing Wilson, obviously. And I thought, and I've been chasing a Bowie for like 20 shows, and it's probably been 3 years since I've seen a Bowie. So, I love that, and I thought the mics was excellent mics, you know, one of the better ones I can remember in the last, you know, in 3.0. So, no, I have no complaints about Tuesday. It just didn't quite have, you know, the distinct feel that I thought last night just felt a little more, you know, put together, and people have different phrases for that, you know, and it just felt like last night had a little bit better flow to it, and it just felt like they had it figured out a little bit more, and I think the fans did too. Like I said, we showed up to the lot and it felt different right away, and you know, there's something to that the band, I think, settles in, the crowd settles in, and by night two it was, you know, they figured it out.
Good So night one wasn't as bad as people say, but night two is definitely better, right? I mean, I think that's a pretty good...
Yeah, I guess so.
Right.
I haven't seen a lot of feedback, to be honest. I wasn't sure what people were saying about night one, but I that doesn't surprise me to hear that, is the easiest way to put it.
Well, and it's always, I mean, you know, it's always to criticize when you're not there. Easy to criticize when you're not there. So that's why we like to talk to people who are there. The energy is obviously different, especially when you're underneath the roof. But
right,
you know, did you? So was the lawn full? Was it? You think it was sold out, or do you have any idea about that?
I'll say this: I didn't notice the first night. I didn't do as much looking around. Last night I did, and it looked really full of the lawn. In fact, I was kind of surprised because you know that's a big venue. I think it holds like 25 now. I'm not even sure, but it's really big. And so I was curious to see how the lawn would fill out. And it looked pretty full from where I was. Now, I didn't go up into the lawn to check it out, but I thought it was pretty packed because we'd heard that the other lots weren't as full as Tuesday night, for example. And so I was like, huh, maybe there'll be less people, you know, but I don't think there was less last night. You know, like I said, no sense of really night two of what the crowd, how big it was the first night, but it was definitely packed last night.
Good to hear. So you're on your way to Meriwether, right, this weekend?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm going to I'm skipping Raleigh. I talked to a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, didn't want to have to make the 9-hour drive from Camden to Raleigh. So I kind of got the feeling that, you know, they might, you know, try to hurt us on Friday for not going. But yeah, I'll be going to Saturday at Meriwether. Looks like I'm going to Sunday as well. I'm still trying to lock up a ticket, but I'll probably be there at those two and looking forward to, you know, seeing the end of the tour. And I think it's been a really fun tour. And I think I like what Trey's been doing with his sound. And I feel like they're playing well. I wish I could go to Curveball because I'm sure they're going to, you know, bring it all home just like they did at Magna Ball a couple of years ago. So I wish I could make it, but I got to end it at Meriwether, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, people can hit you up at Weaver NFLF on Twitter, especially for a Sunday ticket. I'm sure you'll find one. Everybody wants to get in, we'll get in. That's what we like to say. So,
you got it.
Yeah, it's a little weird, I guess, to mention the travel, Raleigh, you know, and then back up to Meriwether. But again, I'm sure there's contracts and money involved, obviously. So hopefully Raleigh will be sold out.
And we get the free webcast from Raleigh, so I might have to check that out too. But I don't like to spoil too many surprises for the next night. But you know, it's good for them to put that out there for everybody, and especially us East Coasters. I can't stay up late enough to watch the free webcast when they do them out west. So
yeah,
I'm glad they're putting out an East Coaster too for us.
they know we appreciate it. And Meriwether, I think, is sold out. I heard yesterday. I saw that. So, but again, you'll get a ticket. No worries. So Chris, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. I know you got a busy day, so thanks for taking the time. As always, thanks for everybody for listening to the Quick Hit from August 8th, 2018. And Chris, you got to leave us with a little clip that you want us to tack on the end here, a highlight from last night.
That's a good one. I'm going to say, going through the stuff I heard this morning, I'm probably going to recommend the theme. I like that. I thought Trey's solo and theme really jumped out at me, and I think that's a good one to replay for everybody. I'm sure everybody wants to dig into the second set, but love to hear a little of that theme one more time. And thanks again for having me, Brad. Keep up the great work, guys.
That's a great call. We'll play that on there. And yeah, thanks again. And hopefully you'll get to catch RJ and Matt and Jonathan at Meriwether, and have a good travel safely, and have a good drive.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Chris. Yep.
top, from the bottom, the bottom.